Christ is risen.
He is risen.
In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Things that you'll never hear a mother say. How on earth can you see the TV sitting so far back? Just leave all the lights on. It makes the house look more cheery. Let me smell that shirt. Yes, it's good for another week. Go ahead and keep that stray dog, honey. I'll be glad to feed and walk him every day. Skip the sunscreen. You could use more color. The curfew is just a general time to shoot for. It's not like I'm running a prison around here. I don't have a tissue with me. Just use your sleeve. The gift of mothers is something we have all been recipients of in one form or another, and their ability to nurture and to love and care for us and our needs is something that is a gift from mothers. And these mothers in our lives, whether biological mothers or grandmothers or godmothers or those who took on a mother role for us, have often enabled us to be who we are. And this job of mothers is not always easy. It's often thankless and challenging, and in many ways its own cross to bear. And as relationships to our parents is symbiotic, often a give and take, we as spiritual children or biological children don't make it easy. And it's happenstance that my mom happens to be here today so that I can thank her for using the parent curse on me after a one particularly spirited conversation as I turned. As a teen, I heard the dreaded, "I hope I you have a kid just like you." And let's hope that all the birthday wishes I've used since then to counter curse have actually been effective. So. But today in this country, we honor all those who have been mothers to us, and we have an opportunity to reflect on what it is that mothers do for children and how we, whether women or men, can help lead children to Christ. And raising children or spiritual children is a holy vocation. And it's worth noting that to be a parent, whether spiritually or biologically, our role is not to raise saints. It's God alone who gives the grace that results in the mystery of holiness. But as Saint Porphyrius, a saint of the 20th century, says, when we live a life in a peaceful, God-fearing, sanctified manner, we lead children to the Lord. And to do this best, we have to model the Christian life. And so what does that mean for us? Depending on our roles, it looks different. For some who are in the throes of raising young children, it may look a little different than those who may have children out of the home. And for others who are maybe mothers or parents to adult children, maybe the role that you used to have full on hands and can now be letting go and now be more supportive. And so maybe others have the role of the nurturing caregiver. Father Stephen Freeman, a priest in our diocese, remarked once that there's no better way to lead someone to Christ than to live it truly and from the heart, no matter what our role may be. For us to lead children, we have to live out our faith. And we do this by modeling. We can't teach what we do not live. Teaching or preaching or correcting will only go so far. And by showing our children to live faithfully through our actions, we show children how to have an image on what to focus on. Be the person that we want our children to be. Children learn through watching, so we can ask ourselves, what do children see? What do our children see? What do any children see? What do our biological, spiritual, or God children see? We have such a wonderful opportunity to model this. And there's a neat saying from St. Cosmos Aetolos. When you cut a tree, its branch dries up immediately. If you water its root, the branches are filled with force. So you, parents, can be likened to a tree. You are the root of your children, and when you water yourself with fasting, prayers, almsgiving, and kind deeds, God preserves your children. If an apple tree gives sour apples, who's to blame, the apple tree or the apples? It is the apple tree, so do the right thing, parents, so your apples become sweet. It's pretty powerful words. And now, of course, there's more that goes into raising children to be fruitful, but it reminds us of what to be mindful of, what others see in us day in and day out. And that when children see helpful, caring, respectful, patient, self-controlled, peaceful, and responsible parents, then our children learn what it means to be Christians. So we can ask, what are we showing? Are we temperate? Are we reasonable? Are we consistent? Are we reliable? And is our yes, yes, and our no, no? And are we living from our passions, or are we practicing our virtues? I'm reminded of a woman back in Antioch, back in the 300s. Her name was Anthusa. And she was an intelligent woman who married an officer in the army, Secundus. And together they had a son named John. When Anthusa was 20, she was widowed and was left to raise her son by herself. And she made parenting a priority and raised John diligently, immersing him in the faith and in helping to ensure that he was educated by the best scholars. And beyond education, Anthusa possessed a real and intimate love for Christ. And she shared that with her son. faithfully participating in the liturgical worship of the church. Now, we don't know much else about this woman, but we know that when her son John was 18, he made the decision to focus on a life with Christ, dedicating himself to the church, something clearly learned through repetition. We now know him as St. John Chrysostom. Now, I am not saying that we all have to be raising the next Golden Mouth, and don't be disparaged if you don't. But it is worth asking day in and day out what we reveal about the relationship that we have with Christ and our children. What do our children see in our prayer life? And do they see us living that faith through that relational kind of interaction? Prayer is fundamental as an activity of a Christian, and one of the main purposes of our lives is to communicate with God. Do our children see us pray? To model prayer shows that children what prayer time is with God and a necessity for everyone. And if you're raising children, or if you yourself or your children are grown, do they see prayer as still a central focus of your lives? And is prayer a priority, or is it an afterthought? Do we make and then besides that, we can also realize how we can take that and put it into daily living on a consistent basis. You know, do we make church activities a focal point? You know, we've restored wonderfully a regular schedule of middle and high school activities at least once a month, or no later than every 6 weeks. Are we using these as opportunities to help our teens focus on Christ? And then we can ask ourselves, what other ministries might we be able to participate in and guide our children to experience our Lord? Homeless ministry, service projects, choir rehearsals, even the worship services we have here at least 3 times a week. Feast day liturgies, and vigils that we are now offering in evenings to accommodate schedules. Do we present opportunities for faith to grow through the use of our community? There's a great little story by the author of the popular novel Wonder, and it exemplifies this creating space, and I love this so much. And the story goes that when his son was 3 years old, they took him for his annual checkup. And the pediatrician asked what eating habits were like, and they said, well, he's going through this phase of only liking chicken fingers and carbs, so we've given up trying to eat vegetables for now. It's become too much of a struggle every night. And the pediatrician nodded and smiled and said, well, you can't really force him to eat the veggies, guys, but your job is to make sure they're on his plate. And he can't eat them if they're not in front of him. And the author understood that this lesson goes beyond the veggies. Children can't learn empathy, compassion, love, or kindness if we don't dish it out every day. And then they get to choose how they're going to live that through their lives. I can't help but share an experience that I have of my grandmother. I used to learn the love of God by experiencing the love of God in moments with my family. And growing up here, like here, we had Vespers every Saturday night. Every Saturday, my mom and siblings, together with my grandmother, would go. And there were on occasions when the priest was out of town that we didn't have Vespers at my church. My dad would work, so dragging 3 little ones to the farther away churches in my home parish wasn't really practical, and so my mom would stay home with the little ones, and being the oldest son, I'd get the opportunity to go out with my grandmother to go visit the other churches. And one of the things that I remember is that it was always this opportunity where we were together in prayer, and we were enjoying those moments, and it wasn't just the moments in the prayer, but the moments in the car to and from church. And she would share her spiritual journey with me and the challenges she faced growing up and how she overcame struggles with faith, and I felt Christ. And thinking back to those handful of moments, I recognized that that helped me understand what that I wanted to pick up and choose in order to make my life a part dedicated to Christ. And I remember and felt Christ being there. And I think about modeling and how this can mean making the opportunities available however we can. We can't learn what it means to worship, pray, and fast, give alms, and serve others if we don't create those opportunities. Now, I'll be remiss, of course, if I don't leave some instruction for children. I want all our children paying attention right now as we focus on Mother's Day, right? We were listening, that we remember that this is a symbiotic relationship, that we do have to listen to our mothers and our daddies, and that we are commanded by this to do so in the Bible. And we remember the Ten Commandments. One of those Ten Commandments is what? Honor the father and mother, right? Now, here's my favorite part about this. We know, God knows. God knows how hard it was, and it's the one commandment in the Ten Commandments that tells you what you'll get if you do it, because it's really hard to do. And he says that if you honor your father and mother, it will be well with you all your days, and that they may be long upon the good land of the Lord that he is giving to you. It's not always easy. It's easy to just say, don't kill. But it's not always easy to honor father and mother. But I'll also share from the words of the Proverbs. Ready, children? Hear the instruction of your father, and do not forget your mother's rules. For you will receive a crown of grace on your head and a gold chain around your neck. And I'll explain that imagery in Sunday school in the fall. But suffice to say, you're not actually going to get a golden crown, but listening to your moms and dads does give you a great joy and riches. So these are but a few reflections for us, and there's certainly more we can say, but what we do know is that parenthood is a vocation and a blessing. And all those mothers who have undertaken this ministry for biological children, stepchildren, grandchildren, godchildren, and spiritual children, it is up for us to discern and reflect on how we are going to live this and focus our energies so that we may lead all to the glory of God. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Christ is risen.
Jesus.